Good morning, Riverside. Our text this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 through verse 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Please join me in prayer. Bless us this day, O Lord, with vision. May this place be a sacred place, a telling space, where heaven and earth meet. Amen. So this past week, we saw the spectacle that we see every 4 years, that of the inauguration of the newly elected president. And regardless of party, every time we do this, there are all kinds of different conversations going on, one of which has to do with what everybody is wearing. What designer is the first lady or the second dude? I don't think that's the appropriate name, but I don't know what the appropriate name is. Is wearing. Who is wearing what? What are the statements that are being made? And that's just it. The thing about clothing and fashion is that we can put on things that make a statement. So for instance, in an event like the inauguration, it's important for the designers that get worn, because it's good for their business to be able to, you know, have everybody hear that so-and-so is wearing their clothes. Now, if you were any amount of conscious this past week, you may have seen some memes with Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont. Now, Bernie showed up at the inauguration dressed in a very warm jacket and some really big wool mittens that one of his constituents actually knitted for him. So these, for whatever reason, brought me an inordinate amount of joy this week. Just seeing all the different places where Bernie showed up. We saw UFC Bernie. We saw Bernie on the bridge of the Star Trek Enterprise. We saw Bernie in Star Wars. Bernie with the Friends crew on the couch. Bernie in Seinfeld. And Bernie even apparently was in this painting that hangs in the Chicago Museum of Art. You might see him right over there. And for all the fun that we've had with that, and all the statements that fashion and what we wear can make, Bernie had this to say about his dress. He said, "In Vermont, we dress warm. We know something about the cold. And we're not so concerned with good fashion. We want to keep warm. And that's what I did today." Bernie came dressed for the weather, not to make a statement. And I think that just was exactly perhaps what we needed on that. But it made me think of the verses that we're looking at today and this idea of community. We're working through the new mission statement for Riverside, which is life together with Jesus, with each other, and with our neighbor. And today we're talking about life together with each other. It strikes me that when we talk about community, the idea of it is always romantic and what we desire. But the reality of it, as Mike said in the introduction and the call to worship this morning, can be quite different. It made me think of that statement. I think it was Mike Tyson who said, "Everybody has a plan to beat Mike Tyson in the ring until they get punched by Mike Tyson." Community is kind of like that. Everybody has an idea of what community should be and how beautiful it is and how lovely it is until they're actually in community with people who rub their fur the wrong way. And so what is the answer? Well, the answer, I think, comes from Scripture, and there's a lot of different ways that we could look at it. You could look at all the one another passages that we see in the New Testament, or we can look at these several verses from Colossians, where Paul talks about clothing ourselves in a certain way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, a couple of things as we look at these, just these couple of verses this morning. The first thing, as I believe I've said before, and if I haven't, it's always really important, especially when we're reading Paul, to ask the question, what is the therefore there for? Right? So as we look at this passage begins with therefore as God's chosen people, which means that we would do well to go back and pay attention to the argument that Paul has made up until this point, which if you look at the verses immediately preceding this, Paul is talking about taking off certain things, putting off things that get in the way of us following Jesus. And so as we think about that, and we look at, in this case, especially verses 1 to 11 of chapter 3, Paul is talking about primarily the putting to death of the old or false self and setting aside those sins that tangle us up both for ourselves and for community. And now Paul is taking the positive side of the argument. Therefore, as God's chosen people, first of all, chosen people. We were chosen by God, holy and dearly loved. Now, sometimes I think we get tripped up on that idea of holiness, right? What does it mean to be holy? Well, quite in this sense, holy is quite simply to be set apart by and for God. You see, where we get tangled up is that holiness comes from God. We are holy because of the work of Christ, not because of anything that we do or accomplish of and by ourselves. We don't accomplish it by our efforts. We accomplish it because God loved us in Christ and redeemed us. So Paul says, clothe yourself. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, the tense of the verb in the original Greek here, clothe yourselves, suggests an action to be taken with a sense of urgency. In other words, there's some heat behind this sense. Paul's not just saying, you know, when you get around to it, 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you feel like getting dressed, know it's a pandemic, go ahead and do that. Paul's saying, no, there's a sense of urgency. Put on these things. Because these things not only make a statement, but they begin to transform you. So I want to think about and talk about this morning for just a few minutes each of these qualities or virtues that Paul is telling us to put on, to clothe ourselves in. And the first of these, I think, is especially important. Compassion. Compassion. Now, literally, this is tenderness towards the suffering and the miserable. But the word that's used here, part of the root of that word is the word splunkna. And the verb form is splunknitsomai. And the idea is that it's something that comes from your gut, from the deepest part of us. But it's like, I think of the phrase... doesn't get used very often anymore, but somebody's venting their spleen, right? They're like really feeling it deeply. This idea is that this is compassion that comes from deep inside of us. So this is the same, the root of this word is the same word that describes Jesus and the compassion that he had for people that he saw in difficulty. So for example, Jesus is filled with compassion for those who are without a shepherd in Matthew and Mark, or without food. Compassion causes him to heal the sick, including lepers, to give sight to the blind, to raise the widow's son from the dead, to heal the demon-possessed child of the Roman centurion. So it's this deep passion and compassion for those who are suffering and broken. As we look at around us, we look at our world, and we look at our own community here at Riverside. When was the last time that you felt that kind of deep compassion for one another? When was the last time that instead of assuming the worst about a brother or sister, or assuming ill intent, or focusing on disagreement, that you focused on your brothers and sisters with that deep gut-level compassion and love that Jesus had for people? The next thing that Paul tells us, compassion, kindness. Now, kindness is listed, Paul lists kindness in Galatians as a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not just the kind of that surface level kindness, but it's the opposite of severity. It's related to humility and gentleness, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But this idea of kindness that is seeking the betterment of the people around us, right? Of seeking to be kind and gentle with them. Now, the next two things that Paul tells us, humility and gentleness, are interesting because these two things that are in this list of virtues in the Greek and Roman world were not virtues at all. In fact, they were seen in the Greek and Roman world as signs of weakness. But the New Testament kind of takes them and deepens them and actually makes them two of the noblest of the Christian virtues, humility and gentleness. Humility is what we see when Paul, in another letter in the New Testament, says that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but to take on the spirit of Jesus, who, though he was the king of the universe, did not consider himself such and became a servant, even to the point of death, right? And so this idea of humility, which was kind of, cast aside in that culture, in Roman and Greek culture. But even for us, I think we can recognize that this is not a virtue that perhaps we value enough in our own culture. We might see those who seek to lead in a way that is not aggressive and abrasive as weak. We might see humility as a sign of weakness instead of a sign of strength, which is how the New Testament defines it, right? That Jesus did not go to the cross because he was weak. He went to the cross. In fact, the scripture tells us that he chose the cross, which is a sign not of weakness but of strength, that kind of humility that puts others ahead of ourselves. And then gentleness, which again, not one of the traditional virtues in that time, but the New Testament makes it one of the most important. So what is gentleness? Well, it's the opposite of arrogance and self-assertiveness. It is the special mark, one commentator suggested, the special mark of a person who has a delicate consideration for the rights and feelings of others. That's interesting. Paul tells us that we should put on kindness, humility, and gentleness. Or another way might be to say that Paul tells us that we should, as followers of Jesus, have a delicate consideration for the rights and feelings of others. Again, these are not signs of weakness, but signs of being made into the image of Jesus and taking on the characteristics of God. And then finally, patience. the last in this list that Paul asks us to clothe ourselves in. This one is especially interesting. This is a word that means to be long-suffering, to show self-restraint, and to not be quick to retaliate. It is repeatedly mentioned in Scripture as an attribute of God Himself, and also another one of the list of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul gives us in Galatians. Friends, what might it look like if we, with a sense of urgency, sought to put on these virtues that Paul lists for us in Colossians? If we sought to be kind to one another, if we sought to not be severe, but to be, but to seek opportunity to show kindness, to have a deep compassion for our brothers and sisters and for those who are struggling, to not think of ourselves and our opinions more highly than we ought, because perhaps that is the biggest challenge for us, it seems to me, today. Humility is not so much that we, I think in our context, one challenging way to think about it might be that it's not so much that we think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but it might be that we think of our own opinions more highly than we ought. And so what might it look like to be, to hold our opinions with humility and gentleness and to be patient and long-suffering with one another? Then Paul goes on and says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Carry each other's burdens." That would be literally closer to what is said here. Bear with each other. Carry each other's burdens. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. In other words, even and especially when they don't deserve it. Because that's what it comes down to, isn't it? That if we are to forgive as the Lord forgave us, it means that we have to forgive even when people don't deserve it. Because that is exactly what we receive from Christ. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to become not sinners. He didn't wait for us to get all our stuff together. He loved us and died for us while we were yet sinners. So if we are to forgive as the Lord forgave us, it means we have to forgive first. Brothers and sisters, if there was ever a season when we need forgiveness, it is now. The contemporary theologian Miroslav Volf said this: "Forgiveness flounders because I exclude the enemy from the community of humans and myself from the community of sinners." Let me read that again. "Forgiveness flounders because I exclude the enemy from the community of humans and myself from the community of sinners." So what Wolf is saying here is that the reason that we can't forgive is because we dehumanize those that have wronged us. We use language that denigrates them and makes them less than human and makes it easy for us to dismiss them. And not just dismiss their opinions, but dismiss their humanity. But to dismiss the fact that these are those who are made in the image of God. And then we also exclude ourselves from the community of sinners. We forget that we were sinners, that we are sinners, and that Christ loves and died for us anyways. This is a difficult command, is it not? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bob Goff says, that we should stand like a mountain, love like an avalanche, give away forgiveness like you're made of it. Which brings us to how. How do we do all these things? I mean, it's easy for us to read a list like this. Okay, clothe ourselves in these things, put on these things, forgive as the Lord forgave us, and then to undertake to do it under our own steam, right? How do we do this? Well, the reality is if we do that, if we seek to dress ourselves in these virtues and to forgive as the Lord forgave us and we do it under our own steam, guess what we become? We become insufferable, self-righteous people. Because we can't do it ourselves. And Paul knows this because in verse 14 he says, "And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." Love is the supreme Christian virtue. But here's the reality of all of these virtues. The only way that we can put these on, the only way that we can put on love, that we can dress ourselves in compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience, is by experiencing the love of God in Christ. These virtues and this clothing is not achieved, it is received. This kind of love is primarily experienced, and through the experience, the object of that love is transformed. In other words, the way that we can forgive as Christ forgave us, the way that we can love as God loved us, is because we have ourselves experienced that forgiveness and that love. And then because we have experienced that love, we are transformed. Now, please don't hear me saying that we don't have to put any effort in to doing these things. We do. But if we put that effort in before we truly experience the love of God in Christ, then it is a project that is doomed to fail. But what does it mean to experience that love? Well, if we are to do life together with Jesus and with each other, it has to begin with an experience of the love of God. There is an old Cajun saying that is a favorite of mine. It was often used by the preacher Brennan Manning. And he used to say that there was this Cajun saying was that this person, when they met Jesus, had been seized by a powerful affection. They had been seized by a powerful affection. Oh, what happened to Junior? How come he's so different? Well, he was seized by a powerful affection. Oh, what happened to Aunt Helen? She used to be such a nasty woman. Oh, well, she has been seized by a powerful affection. Brothers and sisters, the only way that we can experience true community is if we have first experienced the powerful, raging, relentless love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we can make all the lists we want. We can list all the virtues that we need to work on. But if we do not first understand that God loves us, it is doomed. At best, we will become insufferable, self-righteous people. At worst, we become unbearably unhappy. Because then, if we do that, then we're just turning our relationship with God back into some kind of earned achievement or place. And the reality is that God loves you just as you are, not as you should be. Paul says over and over again that Jesus came to redeem sinners. Jesus himself says that he came not to heal the well, but the sick. Do you know that when Jesus looks at you, he does so with a compassion that is deep from his gut? He is motivated not by anger at your sin, but by love towards you and a desire to see you experience the wholeness that life in him brings. So friends, the goal is that we would clothe ourselves in these things, not in order to earn something, but in order to recognize that God has given us something through his fierce love in Jesus. And the good news is, all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is open our hands and say, God, I receive that love that you have for me in Jesus. And I want to share that love with others. And I want to be transformed by that love. So that when people see me and they see me putting on these virtues, they don't see some hypercritical religious person. They see someone who was seized by a powerful affection. So my prayer for you, as you seek to build community and to do life together with each other, is that you would do so from a place of love, and that that love would transform you and each other, and then even invite more and more people into it. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that you do not wait for us to clean up our lives, to fix our mistakes, to stop doing that thing, to stop committing this sin or that sin, but that you love us right where we are, that you come and meet us and welcome us home. Lord, help us to accept that love and help us to be transformed by it, that we might become marked and clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Not because of our own effort, but as we sang, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Amen. Please stand and receive the benediction. Brothers and sisters, go now in the strong love of God the Father. Experience the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and be empowered by the Holy Spirit now and always. Go in peace.